This over to the 31st Psalm, the 31st Psalm tonight. And we're going to read the first five verses, and then we'll preach throughout the whole chapter. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the day that you've blessed us with, and God, for being so good to us. God, we do thank you, Lord, for your word that we can gather around tonight. And God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be here with us. I pray that he would take your word and make it real to us and make it alive to us, God, and to see some things in it that would help us in our life today. God, I pray that we would take the things that we learn and we'd use them, we'd apply them to our lives for your glory. God, we do pray tonight for those that were mentioned in the prayer request, the people that we know that are hurting and are in need. God, I pray that you'd touch them by your grace and mercy, and God, you'd help them. I pray they'd see you through their difficulties, and God, you'd strengthen their faith because of it. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus, and Lord, for being our God, and we ask all these things in his name. Amen. You know, as we look at this psalm, and you know, in the psalms, there is a lot of themes that we see repeated throughout them. And one thing we see about in David's life as a theme that he continues to write these psalms, and I really think he wrote a lot of these psalms as a way to encourage himself, you know. And listen, I believe, I read something last week that said, we believe what we tell ourselves. Y'all believe that? That we believe what we tell ourselves. And I think David, in writing these songs, kept telling himself some truths and some things of God, so because he needed help believing them things. And I think the same thing is true for us tonight. We need to continue to tell ourselves these truths because we need to believe them. And the first thing that we see in these verses is that David trusted God. We're going to see three things tonight in the psalm. Is one, that David trusted God. Two, that he trusted him in his troubles. And the last thing we're going to see is how we can increase our trust for him. You know, I think sometimes it's easy to say, trust God, right? You know, somebody's having problems, you say, hey, trust God. But how do we increase our trust for him? How does that look? How is that even a practical thing? Well, I think we see it in the psalm. So the first thing we see in these five verses is a few ways that David viewed God. It said there in verse number one, it said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Down in verse five, it said, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." The first thing that David viewed God as and viewed the Lord as was his God, his creator, the one who has put him on earth, the one who has put him in the position that he's in, the one who has made him for a purpose in this life. And we need to view him as that as well. We need to view God as who he is, and he is the God of the universe. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. I think sometimes we view him in a lot of different lights. Sometimes we view him as, people view God as a, you know, an angry man up in a cloud looking to strike people down. I think some people at times view God as a genie, that we're going to ask him to bless us in some things and give us things. But he is God. He's the creator, and we need to view him that way. Now, when we view him that way, there's a response that we should do. Number one is that we should worship him. We should worship him. And when we think about worship, it just means to give him the worth that's due his name. And when you think about that, you got to ask yourself, what is God worthy of? What's he worthy of? Well, he's worthy of our love. He's worthy that we obey him. He's worthy that we respect and reverence him. He's worthy that we serve him. And the reality is tonight, whatever God asks us to do, none of us should say that God has asked us to do anything that is a sacrifice to us. Because he's God. As David said, you've redeemed me. I commit my soul into your trust. And we're trusting our eternal soul in the hands of God. And so anything he asks is not above what we ought to be expected of. It's not beyond reasonable. Amen. The Bible tells us in the New Testament to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. Now, I want you to know something. To present your body a living sacrifice that you die every day. You die every day to yourself. You die every day to your wants and your needs. And you say, I'm going to do what God wants to do. And I'm going to be holy and acceptable in the sight of God. That's a big deal. And he said, that's your reasonable service. That's not above and beyond. That's not something that, man, that's not just, man, the, what the best people do. He said, that's what everybody ought to do, and it's reasonable what we ought to do. So he viewed him as God, and we need to view him as that. He is our king. He's our master. He's our Lord, and we ought to understand that. He also viewed God as his guardian. It said in verse 1, deliver me in thy righteousness. He said in verse 2, be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore thy name's sake leads me and guides me. He viewed God as his guardian. And you know what God does for us today, whether you know it or not? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess to you tonight, what I know about me is that God has protected me from so much. Amen. I mean, he has protected me from so much. There are things that I would have done had I had an opportunity to do them, but I didn't have an opportunity to do them. Or, man, there'd be times I was going to go somewhere and I didn't get to go, and, man, it would have messed my entire life and derailed things and all kind of stuff. And, look, God is, and there's a lot of things I don't even know about, right? There's a lot of things that God does we do not know about. You know, I was riding with somebody somewhere the other day. I can't remember who was in the car with me, but we got behind somebody going about 45 miles an hour. It was at night, and I said, how? And then I think they turned off, and somebody else got in front of us doing the same. I said, how did we get behind two people going 45 miles an hour? And whoever was with me said, God must be protecting us from something. They're keeping us from something, right? And the reality is that we don't know. We don't know. But God protects us from a lot of things. Number one, he protects us from Satan. The Bible says that Satan, the enemy, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he's come to do. But he don't get to do that all the time. If he got to steal, kill, and destroy, I want to tell you something, none of us would be here tonight. Right, if he had free reign to do whatever he wanted to do, we'd all been dead before lunchtime come around today, and we'd have not made it. And so he protects us. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan wanted to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you and I protected you from that. And man, we always go to Job, but if you remember before Satan got after Job, Satan told God, he said, you've got a hedge of protection about Job and I can't touch him. Right. And so there are probably some of us that have some hedges of protection about us that Satan can only get to us in certain ways and at certain times. And see, the thing about God, he allows those things in our life, but he protects us from so much. The reality is that if he didn't protect us from the devil, we couldn't withstand what he brings about. Amen? We couldn't take it. But the reality is that God protects us from the enemy. He also protects us from sin in our life. You know, we're all sinners. But we're not as bad of sinners as we could be. We're not where we should be or could have been without the grace of God. So many of us say this all the time, and we say it because I think we think it sounds spiritual, but we don't think about what it means. It says, man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I am what I am by the grace of God. We know what that means, that if it wasn't for God's grace, you'd be a lot worse off. And we'd be a lot worse off. And sometimes we look at other people that are in a mess, and sometimes we get judgmental on them, or we think bad about them. Well, you can't do that and then say you are what you are by the grace of God in the same breath. We can't say, well, they're worse off or whatever. Listen, God's been gracious to us, and he's protected us from some sin that we could have got in that would have ruined our life. Do y'all realize that decisions in our life, I mean, one decision can change your life. I was talking to somebody today about their child, and their child is heading down a road making decisions that's going to change their life. They don't know it. They're young, and they're blind to some things, but they're going to make some decisions in the next few little while that's going to change their life forever. And that could happen to every one of us. That could happen to us tomorrow, by the way. We got choices to make. And he protects us from ourselves. We know that. And then it said this. He said, lead me and guide me there in verse number 3. He also viewed God as his guide. Now, what we should do as God being our guide is this. We should seek out his guidance and then follow what he says to do. We should seek out his guidance and follow. You say, well, how does God lead us? Well, a couple ways, and really more than that. But number one is he leads us through this book, right? God's given us his word. We have an instruction manual. We have a guide. This book is a guide to us. You want to know how to handle your money? The Bible tells us how. You want to know how to have a marriage? The Bible tells us how. You want to know how to raise children? The Bible tells us how. You don't want to have... how you ought to do at work tomorrow, the Bible tells us how. And look, we could go on and on with that, with everything there is. There is nothing in this life that the Bible don't cover how we ought to handle it. Whether it's specifically or in just principles in general, God covers it in his word. So what we first got to do is get familiar with his word. If you got a question, you know where you ought to go to? You got to go to God's word. And we'll find out what God says about it. See what he thinks about it. See how he cares about it. And then we must do those things. Now, I want to tell you something. This is going to be real hard for some of us tonight, but this is a hard reality. If you ain't going to do what God says in his word, he's not going to talk to you in any other way. Hey, some people want to... Now, listen. We're going to talk about it in a minute that God leads us by his spirit. And he does. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. You believe that? He'll speak to my heart. He will speak to me. He will lead me. And God will push us and pull us and put us where he wants us to go. But if you won't do the things in his word, people are looking for some kind of mysterious talk, word from God that's going to come down. You won't even do what you're supposed to do, right? Everybody wants to do these extra things and these big things, and they won't do the simple things and the basic things, and that's how God works. So you got to first listen to the word of God. And if you'll do that, then he'll lead you by his spirit. There are some things that we have to be led by. You know, the Bible tells us about marriage ought to be between a husband and a man and a woman and all that, and it tells us all about that. But he don't tell you who to marry, amen? Right. That's the thing we got to seek the spiritual work of God on. He tells us some general things about raising our kids, but then there's some things that happen in our life where we go, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? And that's where we need the guidance of the Holy Ghost to be able to lead us. But we need to be in a place where he can lead us in that way. And so God will lead and guide us. I think God leads us. I think he guides us. I think sometimes he closes doors. He opens doors. He does all kinds of things. But God is our guide. Now, here's the reality too today. There's a lot of people who sit in the church pews every week who God is not their guide. First off, these people that sit in the church pew who God is not their God. They've never given their life to him. They come to church, but they've never been saved. They've never been born again. And, you know, you can say you believe in him, but if he's not Lord and Master, then he's not your God. He's not your Savior. And then there's some people who don't let him be their God. They don't get in the Word of God. They don't consider God when they make a decision. They don't ask for his advice. They don't seek his counsel and don't do all that. And listen, how foolish are we to live our life on our own terms, in our own way, when we've got God for a guide? That'd be a foolish thing to do, but yet people do it every single day, and even those of us who try to let God be their guide, we do it ourselves, amen? We make decisions that we think is good. The Bible says there is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Here's the thing about every one of us, when we make decisions, we think we're right, right? We think we did right. We think we made the right decision. But we better make sure that we've lined up with God. I can promise you this, if you make a decision that goes against God's word, you made the wrong one. And that's a fact. And then David was having to trust God and tell himself these things because David was in trouble. David was a man who experienced great troubles and heartaches and pain in life. And you know what I was telling Laura the other day? Y'all know George Bush died the other day, the daddy, the old Bush. And we've watched some things on TV about him lately because they had stuff on him and he died. And you know, we were talking and we were watching a thing last night about him. And they had a three-year-old daughter. They had six children, I think, five or six children. But they had a three-year-old daughter that died of leukemia. And they showed videos of her being 3 years old and throwing balls and sitting on her daddy's shoulders. And one thing I told Laura, I said, there's just been billions of people that have experienced tragedy and heartache and pain and suffering. I mean, nobody's excluded. The President of the United States has a three-year-old kid that gets terminal illness and dies. And so trouble comes to all of us. Trouble will come to everybody's door, and we'll experience heartache and pain and suffering. And so the reason why that's important for us to know is because as David knew it, he continued to tell himself truthful things. But look at what he said about his troubles in verse 11. He said, I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Now, verse 10, he said, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength failed because of my iniquity and my bones are consumed. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty rough. I mean, that sounds pretty rough. He's got all these troubles. Number one, he's got enemies. He's got people that hate him. He's got people that want to see him dead. He's got people that want to see him bankrupt and dead and cast off and ruined. You know what's good about us today is I don't think a whole lot of us have people like that in our life. If we do, it isn't that many. Maybe you got a couple people that don't like you that bad. But I mean, to be hated, to want you to die, to want you to be ruined and done away with, he had to deal with all that. Then he said he had enemies, and he said, but especially among my neighbors and a fear to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me. Here's what happened to David. People close to him, people that were his friends, people that did love him, have now turned their back on him and forsook him and have fled away. He said, man, when they saw me, they fled away from me. And they've all turned their back on me. And this is where David is at. He said in verse 11, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Y'all know what that means? By the way, you know what's a bad deal? We forget about dead people. We do. Like Carl Dickens said, no matter how great you are, after they bury you 30 minutes later, everybody's going to be eating fried chicken and potato salad. So, they're going to forget about you. And he said, man, they done forgot about me. Problem is, David's still alive, and they've done put him out of their mind, so you've gone, and we not worried about you. Forsaken and forgot about. Because of all this, he says in verse number 12, he said, I'm like a broken vessel. David's broken. His heart is broken. Broken, like a broken vessel. It says there also that in verse 10, for my life is spent with grief for many years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity. My bones are consumed. He is completely spent in grief and surrounded by trouble. Here's where David's at. He is overwhelmed. He is overwhelmed. He's consumed with grief. And folks, I want you to know something today. We live in a world, let me tell you the world we live in today. I think we live in a world where there's more depression than there's ever been. There's more loneliness than there's ever been. There's more grief and hopelessness, and we live in a world full of problems. Yeah. And it's because of sin. It's because of evil. It's because of the enemy. And there are people that are overwhelmed today. You know, there are, we can debate on whether they should be overwhelmed or not. You know, I talked to somebody last week that they said they were so stressed out that they just couldn't take it anymore. This is last week. And I wanted to say to them, if you could live in my world, then you would be in a coma from the stress, obviously, if you can't take it anymore. But that's neither here nor there. The reality is that people are stressed and people can't deal with it. People got problems. They're overwhelmed. And then David also said this in verse 10. Not only did he have troubles without, right? You got circumstances and enemies and all this other stuff. But in verse 10, he said, my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing. My strength faileth because, why? Of mine iniquity. And my bones are consumed. We got troubles without, but I want to tell you something. We got more troubles within. You know what my bigger problem is other than my enemies or whatever else is going on, my circumstances? My biggest problem is the iniquity within me. That's my big problem. And I want you to know something. The fight that sin and the flesh rages and against me is a relentless fight. I mean, it's a relentless fight. If you don't know you're in a fight with the flesh, then you are losing. I'm going to tell you that for sure. And so it's relentless against me. And sin is an all-consuming deal. And let me tell you another thing about sin. You might think, I'm pretty good today. Well, just open your Bible and let's see how good you are. And find out. And by the way, you can be fine right here and then be in sin right here. You know what Peter said? Jesus said, who do y'all say that I am, right? And he said, man, you the Son of God, right? And he said, oh, man, Peter, you blessed. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Next thing you know, Jesus is calling Peter Satan, saying, get thee behind me. And so we can go from saying, blessed are you, to Satan, get behind me. In that quick of a time. And the thing about sin is, it is always on the attack, and we must fight it. And it is something that troubles us. It is relentless against us, the iniquity within us. Now, here's where we're at tonight and where David was and what we got to ask ourselves a question about. I think probably everybody here is in agreement with everything I've said tonight, that we got troubles, that we can be overwhelmed. Life is overwhelming, you know, just living life can be overwhelming. And sin is relentless. And I think everybody here wants to trust God. Everybody wants to do that, right? That's what we want to do. The question is, how can we do it better? And how can we grow in our trust for God? I would say, first off, what I said at the very beginning, that we believe what we tell ourselves. And the best thing to do is be like David and continue to tell ourselves these things. But look at what it said in verse 21. It said, blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. This is how he ends this psalm. So you say, well, how are we going to trust God more? Well, he said that he begins with prayer. He said, now I said in haste. Have we all said things in haste? He said, man, you don't see me. Your eyes are cut off from me. He said, but the Lord hearkened unto me when I cried unto him. You see, sometimes we'll do that. Sometimes we're too quick to say God hadn't heard us. Right, we'll say, oh, God's forgot about us. Oh, where's God at? And God's already up in the middle of it and busy, and he's working things all behind the scenes. He done heard your prayers. But the thing we need to do, you want to grow in your trust for God, is we've got to grow in our prayer life. Amen. We've got to continue to ask him for strength. You know, when we pray, you know what prayer does? Every time we pray, I would say, nearly every time we have true prayer. I mean true prayer. Prayer always gets our priorities in line. It does for me. it always gets me in the right place, right? Because when I get in true prayer, and I'm not talking about if I'm not in it or I'm not where I need to be and we're just saying some things and moving on. But if I get in prayer, you know what? I realize who God is. I realize who I am. And it gets my priorities in the place it needs to be. It gets my perspective right, too. And I understand that I don't have it as bad as some other people got it. And I understand how good God's been to me. And prayer does that for us. And so what would be a good thing if we want to trust God more is we need to pray more. We need to pray more. It'd help our day out, too, by the way. A lot of the problems we get in, we put ourselves in because of our sinfulness. And if I was in a constant state of prayer and a place where I was always in communication with God, it'd help me out a whole lot. Now, again, I'll be like Peter. I can go from praying to being mad in about 2 seconds, right? Man, we try to pray every morning before we go to school with the kids, and sometimes they get me so mad I can't even have prayer with them before we go. But we'll go from prayer to fist fights in about 5 seconds as soon as it's over. But we still need to be in a place of prayer. Then, so all that, but verse 14, he said, but all those troubles, he said, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Then he also said this down there in those last verses. He said, oh, love the Lord, verse 23, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. He preserveth the faithful. You want to trust God more and you want to trust him in a better way. Do you know what you got to do? You have to be faithful. You've got to stay the course. You see, there's a lot of people who quit on God. There's, oh, I got troubles, and we quit on God. Oh, I prayed for 5 days, and I didn't get an answer. I'm going to quit on God. Well, I'm glad you could wait for 5 days when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness tempted of the devil with no food. But you, my man, what a suffering that you've done to pray for 5 days. And we quit on him. You know what I think in all things in life, that God just blesses the faithful. He blesses the people that will stick it out no matter what. Hey, no matter what comes, we're going to just do right. I'm going to do the next right thing. I'm going to keep going. And when we do that, what God does is he gives us more faith and confidence in him. Let me tell you what, you know, I've asked a lot of preachers before in times. I'll say, and every one of them respond the same way. I'll say, man, did you ever think about quitting? And every one of them just starts laughing, you know, and it says, of course. And they'll be like, near about every Monday, or they'll say something like that, you know. But guess what you do? You just keep going. You just keep going. There's going to be times where you want to quit, and there's going to be times like David where you say, I'm overwhelmed and I'm stressed beyond belief and I'm broken down and I don't have any strength and all that stuff. And what you do is you put one foot in front of the other and you continue on doing what you know to do. You be faithful. You be faithful. If everybody forsakes us, if everybody leaves us, if everybody turns their back on us like they did David, you know what you do? You just stay on. Guess what David saw? David saw God come through for him in the end. Man, as we see all the trouble that David had, time after time after again, hey, he made it. He made some of his own bed and had to lay in at the time. But you know what he saw? As he stayed faithful, he saw God come through for him and continue to do that. So we must be faithful. We must be willing to endure because the Lord preserves the faithful. Just say, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to continue to do right no matter what comes our way. Then it said in verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I do think that courage and hope, again, are things that we got to tell ourselves. We got to tell ourselves to be brave. We got to tell ourselves, I got to keep going. You know, if you've ever done anything that required any endurance or any kind of stick-to-itness, many times you had to tell yourself, just keep going. I'm going to make it another day. I remember when I was in the Air Force in basic training, I just tried to make it meal to meal. I didn't like being there. I didn't want to be there. It wasn't no fun. I said, just make it to lunch. make it to supper, make it back to breakfast the next time. Just keep making it. Just endure. And there's going to be times in our life where we got to just make it through the day and make it to another day. And tell ourselves it's going to be okay. Tell ourselves God loves us. Tell ourselves God's for us. And we keep encouraging ourselves in that way. And so how we trust God more, how we're able to do that, is by being prayerful, by being faithful, and then by continuing to tell ourselves to be full of hope that another day is coming. You know, he said in another place back there in Psalm 30, remember what he said? He said, for his anger endures but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we might weep today, but joy comes in the morning. And we endure these things. And so no matter what comes our way, troubles are going to come. Difficult days are going to come. I think we could all say together tonight as a reality that there have been people that have suffered worse than us and have stayed the course and endured and saw God do a great thing in their life. And as I say, I don't want you to take this as a negative, because it surely is not. But if something don't get no better and I was to die, guess what? I'm going to go to heaven. And things just got better, amen? Things got better real quick, and they're going to be better forever. So we just endure and look for a better day. Man, it's been good to be with you today. I hope you got a blessing from being here.